I'd like to call the Government Operations Committee meeting to order. The time is 11:02. Roll call, please.
Congressman Keane.
Present.
Second Speaker Redcorn.
Here.
Congresswoman Rebard.
Here.
Speaker Shaw.
Present.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Chair Goodfox.
Present. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Congresswoman Rebard, can you say our morning prayer, please?
Yes, thank you, Chair Goodfox, and good morning to everybody, and good morning to those in the audience, and I'm glad that you're here. Just like to say again, address Father God this morning and say thank you, God, for all the blessing you've bestowed upon our people, Father God. I thank you for all of the actions of the folks before us, Father God, all of our ancestors, Father God. Think of all the trials and tribulations our people had as we get to this day, Father God, whether it be through our government, through our culture, Father God. I just ask that you bless our people, Father God, that we as a people together make good decisions for those not even born. And I ask that you bless our elders and our children, Father God, and ask that you lay your hands upon us, Father God, as we all make decisions together for the betterment and the good of this tribe, this nation, Father God. I ask that you be with all of us. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Next is approval of minutes. Speaker.
Chair motion to approve the minutes of May 22nd, 2025 is presented.
Second. Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. It passes. Thank you. And they are approved. Next, we are on agenda item number 5, update of DOI litigation. The chief of staff has informed us that the lawyer will call in at noon.
Jason, are you still here?
Okay. So you have someone here though that can speak from now until then? Or no?
We would prefer to have this conference from 12 to 1.
From 12 to 1?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right, without objection, we're gonna move to item number 6 and then we will come back up to item number 5. So we are on discussion for probate. And we have an executive session for both items, but if there's anything that can be discussed in the open, we should do that. And you have a question? Okay, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I was just curious about the executive session on there. What portions does anyone feel like is executive session items for is the discussion about compacting probate?
Well, I think that the discussion is very broad because we don't know what we don't know, but we hear what we hear, right? And that is that executive has information, possibly so does BIA, but unfortunately I don't think the members of Congress have information, nor do I think that the Minerals Council has information. So I'm just gonna open it up and let's just see where it goes. We've got from 11 to 3. We need to at least have a 30-minute lunch. at noon, we'll go back up to litigation discussion. But for right now, I'm gonna open it up to executive, who I think is holding all the cards with information anyways, and so that we can start hearing what they have to say and formulating our questions from there.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Rivard?
Yes, thank you. Chair, if we could get maybe an update on the probate from Superintendent Trumbly, like where we are is how many current probate cases that we have that are pending, and maybe that'll start the conversation.
That's a good place to start. Mr. Trumbly, if you could come to the podium, that's going to be the first question. My second question is, how far back are we going? How many years are we, what's the longest in terms of years that we have that's pending? You have the floor.
Thank you. I don't have the total number of active probates. I can get that and report back to Congress on that. As far as the oldest one, we have one that's nearing completion that's been pending for 20 years. There's been, it involves state litigation as well as internal administrative court proceedings. So it's been actively progressing for 20 years, but I believe that's the, in fact, I'm confident that internally that would be the longest one that's been actively pending. There are other states that may have been left sitting to where no one's actively pursued it, but that's the one that's been sitting the longest that's been being actively pursued the entire period.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Do you see any repeat or overwhelming reason why many of our Osage probates are held up? I know that every situation's different, but is there a pattern that you can see since you've been superintendent that overwhelmingly is a sticking point for our probates to be processed in a timely way?
One thing that definitely expedites things is if our people have revocable trust in place, that does alleviate some of the burden of having to go to court and probate the matter. Ours is kind of a two-step process. If there is no revocable trust in place, they have to first go through a district court to have the estate probated, the will admitted, and the will has to be admitted on our end before the district court will enter and allow the will to be probated. So the revocable trust is something that absolutely expedites the processing of these. On the revocable trust side, one of the issues I see on there, or reoccurring issues or challenges, I would guess would say, is that people don't specify who the heirs will be. So it'll go to a named child for their life and then to that child's children. But because we don't have a specified list of that individual's children's, we have to have a determination of heirship to have a court specify who the children are to inherit that property. On the flip side, on the district court side, the biggest impediment we have is that a lot of our people don't know how the process works. A lot of people will come to us, inquire, and we can provide them guidance, but they need to retain a counsel. And outside of local counsel, there's not many attorneys in the country, or in the world rather, that are familiar with the way Osage law works and the 1906 Act specifically. So there's a ton of information that I think would be a great benefit to our people. Really having the revocable trust in place is one of the biggest tools we have at our disposal to expedite these matters for our constituents.
Congresswoman Rebar.
Yes, thank you, Superintendent, and I appreciate it. I wish you would have had the information. Wish you'd have been prepared, and in that, knowing that we're talking about probate, why you wouldn't think to bring the number of pending cases or whatever you guys call them on your side. So a lot of what you said about with probate that I hear from a lot of constituents is the fact that the families don't have enough money to put towards the lawyers. Not to offend any of you lawyers in the room, which I think there's at least 10. No, I'm kidding. But the problem is to the retainer and how long that it takes. And if you had to, since you're familiar with Osage County and the lawyers, how many lawyers do you think, and of course they're mostly non-Osages that are still handling our cases, how many lawyers do you believe that are actually handling those that you see come through? Is it still like the same 3, 4, 5?
Yeah, it's probably six that we have that do them consistently, and then probably another 20 or so that do it at least on an annual basis. And those are just kind of off the cuff numbers from what I've observed. Again, I've been in the position for 2 years, to take everything with a grain of salt, that this may not be representative of the historical trend. There are some attorneys who in Oklahoma City or elsewhere who, once they get a case, absolutely familiarize themselves with the process and will take additional ones of those. I've seen one, I think it's taken two now, who does competent work. To piggyback on one of the points you had said, that the retainer, the way a lot of this works out here is that the family will basically enter an agreement with the attorney, and then the IIM funds at the tail end are used to pay off the attorney, so to speak, that the attorney fees aren't assessed until the probate's distributed. And then the IIM funds that are in the account can be used to pay those attorney's fees.
Continue.
If
Congressman Keene, you're after.
So as a follow-up, I think that yes, you're correct. If that account has enough money in there, that has to also be, you know, there has to be money available in the account to do that. But also, but not if you go to challenge. If you challenge a revocable trust, that option is not available to you. And so if an Osage is to challenge a revocable trust, then that is not the case. You are not allowed to use those funds, as I understand, towards a challenge that you have to retain outside. Is that correct?
That would be correct. If you're going to retain outside counsel, if there's two attorneys involved, all the interested parties would have to come to an agreement on how those fees would be paid, unless each party's paying their counsel's fare. One other thing I was going to mention, because it was mentioned earlier about some of our constituents not having sufficient funding since I've come in. I've met with OILS, the Oklahoma Indian Legal Services, and they do now handle Osage probates. You have to be determined to be indigent, so the estate couldn't have there's a maximum amount of funds that can be in that estate, but OILS now does provide that to our constituents, and cost-wise, OILS is significantly cheaper. They just pay or just assess cost and fees. So that's one other option that we now have at our disposal for some of our constituents as well. But the constituents would have to approach OILS to request that service.
Congressman Keene.
Yeah, I would say there's less than five working attorneys that I'm aware of in Washington, Kay, and Osage County that would do an Osage probate. Just there's less than five. Normally, the attorneys that do it just do that. But yeah, like Mr. Trumbly said, there's a dire need for more attorneys to help with probate. And we're not really wholly unique, because just non-Osage is too with probate. It just takes a long time. And one of the biggest hurdles is the notice factor. The notice, you know, getting all the heirs, finding their address, it's just a lot of work. So obviously we're more unique with the 1906 Act with trust property. But just in general, probate takes a long time for anybody. So, thank you.
Anyone else? Congresswoman Rebar.
So let's talk about the revocable trust, and let's talk about the procedure. And it's something that, you know, most folks have to go through, and it's just part of being Osage. So when I first, created my own trust, I found it strange that I had to go to the Minerals Council to do that, to the clerk of the Minerals Council. And so I started asking those that are, you know, have been around longer than I have, like, why there? I mean, I remember being on the tribal council and Osage just coming in and getting their trust done. But it used to be a function of the BIA, or not a function, but a task, I guess, that the BIA used to do, and then it was moved over to the Minerals. So now we have a clerk in the Minerals office that has no law background whatsoever, but she's the one in charge of processing those trusts. And at one point, I think there was some question that maybe there weren't some good questions being asked at the front end, like, is this person, you know, under guardianship, you know, things like that. So trust may have been amended by people that weren't supposed to be amending. That's happened most certainly on more than one occasion. Has there ever been a discussion about the revocable trust piece and where that should sit, where it should sit? Because I've always felt like that revocable trust process should start at least in the AG's office, because you're talking to somebody about your life, your estate. And when you're asking questions to the assistant at the Minerals Council, sometimes they have to wait because they're asking the solicitor. And I'm like, why aren't we asking the AG? I mean, I understand the solicitor plays a part in approving the revocable trust, but on the front end, there's usually a lot of questions for the Osage that's actually, you know, trying to initiate the trust itself. So I was wondering if you could give some history that you're aware of or not, why that revocable trust sits where it does, or that process.
This all occurred prior to my tenure. In my prior experience representing the nation, this was a conversation I had. I'm going to try and avoid disclosing anything that was pertinent to that just to protect the nation's confidentiality. But from my understanding, in the 90s, the field solicitor and anyone who has better recollection of this, again, this is prior to my tenure. In the 90s, the field solicitor that was centered here in Pawhuska was relocated to Tulsa. And at that time, there was a disconnect between that service being offered, drafting of those revocable trusts, and somewhere thereafter, the Mineral Council took it upon themselves to offer this as a constituent, because they did see that gap. And for as long as I can remember, OMC has had someone on staff who's helped draft them. All they're doing at that point is drafting it, so they have some standard questions they've come up with over the years and some recommendations from my understanding. And then those would get, they transfer them over to us, and once it's signed and notarized, we forward them to solicitors. The solicitors do a review, and if there's any legal impediments, they would send them back to the applicant with notes of what was deficient in it or what was deemed to be deficient in it, and then they would have an opportunity to adjust that or to resubmit it with an basically saying, I want to proceed it as is. From my experience, everyone who's got a notice from solicitors has reformed their trust consistent with solicitors' opinions. And then once the solicitors have reviewed it, they provide it over to me with their recommendation, either to approve or deny it, and they would list the reasons for denial. It just appeared to be a service that was at some point no longer offered, so OMC offered it because they did see that gap. On our end, it's not a service that we've ever, at least our agencies, felt comfortable doing, because I'm supposed to be the objective person who would analyze it. So drafting it for constituents, sending it to solicitors, and then internally reviewing it and approving it seems rife with issues, in that the law, the 1906 Act, has some specific language in there about inheritance, at least federal employees, and some of the stuff we're allowed and not allowed to do, and also some of the ethics laws that would also apply to it. So just, we've always kept a distance with that, from my understanding, to avoid any conflicts of interest or the appearance thereof. That's kind of my understanding of how it all transpired.
I'm Congressman Keene, and then Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So hypothetically speaking, let's say Congress, we compact, we draft like the most magnificent probate code ever. The BIA would still have a pretty large role, correct? Just because due to the 1906 Act is that accurate? Go ahead.
Yeah, any restricted assets, the transfer of those would require BIA or Secretary of Interior approval on those.
Okay, and just one last question. This is kind of a legal nerd thing, but Mr. Tremblay or maybe Mr. Patterson, is that 1906 Act as amended, does it say federal law requires all Osage probates to go through Osage County District Court as well? Is that accurate?
No, it does not. There are certain legal tasks that have to be done at the district court. or can be done there, but there's nothing that expressly requires a probate to go through that.
Thanks for the clarification.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So once somebody does, once they get their revocable trust set, the superintendent does have to sign off and on it with the solicitor's approval that that is in proper form. Is that correct?
Yes, I would be the one to approve it, or the superintendent would be the one to approve it. The solicitors merely make a suggestion or recommendation.
And if we were to compact, if the nation were to compact the function of probate, you would still have to do that. Is that correct?
The Secretary of Interior or his designee would have to sign those, from my understanding, correct.
But at this point, you are his designee?
Correct.
To do that function. Is that a function of statutory law, or is that federal code?
It's been interpreted as a component of the 1906 Act. To my knowledge, we're the only Native nation who has the ability to form revocable trust in the manner that we do it. Other Native nations are able to put restricted assets into a revocable trust, but it's usually a creature under state law, not under federal law. So ours is kind of in a singular, we're kind of a one-off, as we are with most things.
So in your opinion, what does the 1906 Act say about state probate laws when our estates are probated? It seems like there is some state probate language in the 1906 Act. What's your interpretation of what that says?
The 1906 Act, as it drafted and as amended, was all done prior to the creation of the Osage Tribal Court, so it's all been deferential to state law with an assumption that the state court would be the one handling all the probates. And they don't have to be within Oklahoma. If it's a non-Osage who has a head right, they can be probated through a district court in another state, and we would honor those as well. But the as drafted, we didn't have a probate code at the time, so all of it is internally incorporating by reference state law for intestate proceedings and for the will formalities and all other things that would normally go through a state court.
Anyone else? Questions for Superintendent Trembley? Congresswoman Rebar?
So back to the number of cases. Is there 100? Less than 100? More than 100?
The off-the-cuff answer would probably be about 200. I can look and I'll be able to get that to you pretty quickly. I can say ours have been progressing since I've been here. I'm not sure what the turnaround time was prior to my tenure. I can say in my tenure, it's been about 18 months, give or take on average, some longer or some much longer. Some we've been able to turn around shorter if everything lined up perfectly. Secretary Burgum recently testified before Congress on the BIA's budget, and in there he had disclosed that one of the most jarring things when he came in office was the revelation that a lot of the Western tribes, on average, their probates were taking 5 years, and that he had made the comment that if it was any other group of people, it would have been on the cover of the New York Times, but that here we are. He had testified to it, and even today, a lot of our people who are involved in this industry, who practice in this field, are completely oblivious to that fact. It's something that I'm hoping that this new administration, the secretary's aware of it, has now brought it to Congress's attention. I'm hoping that they do something to facilitate a remedy for this. At a local level, I can assure you we're not as bad as some of the other tribes. However, that's a terrible standard to want to hold ourselves to. At the moment, we have one vacant position, and because of the hiring freeze, we haven't been able to fill that position. We were set to fill the position right before the hiring freeze went into effect, and since then, I've had one person in probate. I get the phone calls from constituents on a daily basis that what we're doing right now is completely insufficient, and I take complete onus of that. The victories, it's a team thing. The failures, those are mine. I've done all that I can in my power right now, short of personally calling the president to trying to get a waiver from that hiring freeze. And it's just one that until we can get more people, It's going to be at the pace that we can get them at. We have someone at Region who's helping process these, but we're not moving as many as I would like to have moving on these. But it's just we've got, as is the case, we got swept up in a bigger net on that one.
Congresswoman Whitehorn and then Congresswoman Rebar.
Thank you for that candid response to that question. Do you believe that it would help if tribal nations would get their lobbyists on the treatment and the slowdown that we get of the process from the BIA for underfunding, for the nation, the United States underfunding the BIA agency? I don't see us being active in that lobby, and I certainly wish that we would, because it's going to have direct benefit to our people if you guys have the staff you need to do your job. So do you think that could be helpful to the plight of the agency here, to get on the bandwagon and lobby the feds for more money?
I mean, I would defer to you guys in the political realm entirely. I think that the first step forward is to bring it to attention. I think probates in general in Indian country have been sluggish, to say the least, for decades. This is not a recent phenomenon. This is something that those involved knew it was an issue and didn't take appropriate steps to deal with it as it was unfolding. And now it's kind of magnified over years to where, again, ours, fortunately, isn't as bad as some of our sister nations. But it's something I see going and talking to other superintendents, that there's outside of here, there's estates that have been sitting for 60 years to where if you were to go to probate those, you'd have to probate grandpa's estate, the parents' estate, and then the kids' estate in order to get clear chain of title. Because our people have been a little bit more active with these, because we have head rights that people are proud to have, proud to keep them in the family, we don't have those sitting the same way where we have to do those intergenerational probates. I'll defer to you guys. My as always, the intent is to bring the problem to you guys, to your attention, and you guys advocate as you see appropriate to advance the nation's interest.
I have Congresswoman Rivard, then Congressman King.
So back to another, and you may not be prepared for this, but out of the probates, and let's say we have 200 that are pending, and you have a position that's open, and you have someone there now, and I know over the years there was only like a couple of people, you know, handling our probates, and it did take a long time. I always felt like, because there's always the, and maybe you don't run your ship this way, but it was always like, well, I'm sorry, Ubi's out on vacation for 2 weeks and nobody else can handle it, or, you know, whatever it may be, that took forever. But my point is, there's still a problem. And 200, I mean, for me, 10's too much. And because the way that I understand, the way it was explained to me, particularly in my family, was like, it's math, right? It's basic math, very basic math. It's dealing with land, the amount of land, the amount of a head right, or no land, or no head right, or part of a head right, and no land, and you know how it goes. But it's just math. And it's information that the BIA already has in their records, like where the probate, like where it is, like the land and the who's got ownership. And it should be the most easiest process. So what I was told as a young person was to get it set up, because it doesn't stop business as far as leases getting paid. So if I were to ask you, Superintendent, what is the benefit of having a revocable trust? How do you answer an Osage?
In the absence of a revocable trust, the process that would go forward is that their will would initially have to be approved at the individual's Osage. So they can do it contemporaneously with filing the probate case in a district court. They would bring the will over to us for approval, to where we have to do will hearing on it. We provide notice to all the heirs, and they have an opportunity to challenge the will for validity on our end before it goes to the district court. Once it's been recommended for approval on our end, They would then take that will back to the district court, and they would do essentially an entire probate, not unlike one that a non-Osage would go through. Once it's been probated through the district court, they would then take it back to us to have us basically do the administrative process of changing title. So with Osages, if they don't have a revocable trust, it's waiting on a twofold process where they go through us, they go through district court, and then they bring it back to us. It's not as clean as it potentially could be, or not as expeditious, but the way we had it drafted in the, I think it was in the 40s amendment, don't quote me on that, was that we wanted to ensure that all of these wills that were gone through had been reviewed by those who were somewhat familiar with our Osage people, and that we didn't have people submitting wills as being an Osage who hadn't, we had a distrust for the district court at that time from some of the stuff that had transpired in the 20s and 30s. And they wanted to change it so that people had an opportunity to contest them through the BIA. And that process has been put in place since then. It slows things down, but that was one of the things we had negotiated for back decades ago. That's the benefit of the revocable trust, is that it doesn't have to go through the district court or go through the will formalities. If they don't have a will, then they can do a standard probate, but they're still going through the district court first before it come to us for a change of title. We need that determination of heirship to let us know who the courts determine the heirs to be and how the estate assets are supposed to be distributed. Again, because we're essentially the guardians of the restricted assets, for lack of a better term, because we're the trustees for it, we don't make those determinations of who the heirs are. We don't pick winners and losers when things get contested. We just administer the estate pursuant to what the courts determined. And same thing on the opposite side with the revocable trust. We just administer how the settlor had it drafted up. It's just a timeliness thing. And then you're also, if you have a revocable trust, we do our best, as always, to honor the settlor's intent. Whereas if it goes through district court, it goes to a judge, and depending upon how the family, if the family contests it and how they do it, they can always do a family settlement agreement through the court, from my understanding, to where they can deviate from that, what the will had specified.
Yeah, follow up, and then Congresswoman Whitehorn, and then Congressman King.
So in those, your current, okay, so in your probate office, the follow-up, where I'm trying to get to is the reason it takes so long. If you were to have more people in that department, what is the holdup? Like, what is the actual holdup? I mean, I get it's staffing, it sounds like. But what is the holdup? I don't understand. Like, somebody gets a file, they open it up, you can see the errors, you can see the math. What is the holdup for somebody? Why does it take years to do that? I don't understand. Is it the lack of training? Is it because everybody's on vacation and nobody's able to do somebody else's job when they're gone? The lack of cross-training? What is actually, if you were to tell us, what is the holdup besides staffing? What is it in that? What takes so long? Is it on the regional side? Is it on the super side? Is it on the clerk side? Where is it?
Perhaps it may be best if in the future I can come back with you guys and walk you through how two identical cases would progress. And I could prepare a presentation on that, how one would progress with a revocable trust and one would progress if it had a will, and perhaps a third one that was testate or intestate without a will, and walk through that process. What takes a long time, particularly those where there's no will or there's a will, if it's going through the district court, they're not waiting on us, they're waiting on the district court. A standard probate can take a year through the district court, and that's before it ever reaches us. again, if they have a will in their Osage, we have to do the will hearings first, which requires us to provide notice to the potential heirs. And the notice is we'd have to send it out 30 days before the hearing. Then they would come in and have a hearing. And then on the back end, the special attorney, who's the solicitor, who's been assigned from the field solicitor's office, the special attorney is the one who handles these hearings. They would then draft up a memo making a recommendation for me whether to approve the will or not. And it's going through solicitor's office for that. And then I would, in turn, issue that approval or denial of it. And it would go over to the district court, and it may progress to the district court. Again, the ones that take the longest tend to be the ones that are contested. We don't have many that are uncontested that sit lingering. One other factor that goes on is before we can distribute an estate fully, we have to have IAM accounts set up for all the heirs. So there's times where they've got to submit forms, where we need a Social Security card or banking information or additional information from them. We may not have an address on record for them, to where we're waiting for an heir to submit one document and it'll hold up the estate. And generally speaking, if it's just one heir and one document waiting for, we can move forward with those and put the individual as whereabouts unknown, but that's something we don't like to do because it's those things that you'll circle back to it at some later point. And it's been a practice that was done in years past and across the country, again, not Osage specific, but there was an epidemic of whereabouts unknown in past years. I think the Cobell settlement helped get some of those cleared off, but there's still a ton of people who are just whereabouts unknown, that the family's completely unaware that the individual's estate or the individual's account exists. And they just never have made a claim on it because they didn't know about it.
One follow-up, and then Whitehorn, then King, and then we can circle back around.
Thank you. So that was where another question that I have is on those whereabouts unknown. What steps, this is a question I've always had on the, what steps has, and it may not even be in your wheelhouse. It could be under the nation. Honestly, I don't know. But I do know that there's other tribes. They actually created a commission or somebody to try to find their people. We never did that, and I don't know why. We never, the Bureau or somebody didn't create something as such to find out, even with the, definitely with the Cobell. That's a good example, but there's others out there as well, as you're aware. But I'm just curious, what efforts has the BIA or DOI made to find those folks, besides creating the list?
Yeah, I mean, that would be what they did, was they published multiple times a notice that, in fact, I think 2 or 3 months ago, they had published that the Cobell case was, the settlement administrator was closing the case on it, and that there was still a ton of whereabouts unknown. I think it was like $5 million or so that was still held in those whereabouts unknowns IAM accounts. And they had published those. I had shared that as well online with some of the Facebook groups, and I think other people had circulated as well. I think they had put it in a few publications too, to try and get the word out there. What those IAM, the whereabouts unknown, the only way we have done is to search for those individuals. And in, after the Osage Nation settlement in 2011, forgive me if I'm wrong, they did run through multiple databases, federal government databases, to try and locate those people to see if we had an address for them on a different database, and all those that they could track down, they tracked down at the time. Since then, the best course that they've done, or the one that they chose to do, was to put them on that whereabouts unknown list and allow the heirs to come forward. The unfortunate disconnect is a lot of those people whose accounts are whereabouts unknown are deceased. A lot of them have been sitting there for years, so it's kind of incumbent upon the next of kin to come forward to make a claim on it, because there's going to be a disconnect on our records where we may not have, if they have never filed anything as, we don't know who their children are or their next of kin would be. And again, on our end, we can't make determinations who the next of kin are. On a few of these ones, we have been able to track down someone who's next of kin and have contacted one of them and suggested they look into probating the estate so that those funds can be distributed. But the first step would be the heir coming forward, the heir getting knowledge that there's a whereabout unknown account. And we just don't have the resources, the ability to, on our end, to track down the next of kin for everyone. Because again, that's who the next of kin in requires a determination that they are the next of kin.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So I think this is an interesting conversation, and I'm glad that you kind of guesstimated that there's 200, maybe 200 probates maybe sitting out there. My question about, and I have a couple of questions. My question about those 200 is, I know that when I went through probate, I started with the face here up at the Osage Nation, and the work was done here at this agency to gather the information. But then from that point on, I know it got dispersed into different places. So of those 200 that you maybe think are active right now, all 200 of them aren't just sitting right there waiting for this agency to do something. Is that correct? Would that be a correct statement?
That's accurate. Yeah, okay. That would include ones that are progressing through OHA, the Office of Hearings and Administration.
We have four sitting there.
IBIA?
Well, I don't think I'm in IBIA yet, but I'm at the hearings. I believe it's in Albuquerque, and I'm not trying to get you to resolve my issue. I'm using it as an example, and I don't mind using it as an example. But those people down there don't know what to do with our stuff. It's not this agency that has the problem. There's problems with our probate up and down the chain, is my observation of it. And it's not just with the people here in Pawhuska. And do they want to be helpful to me? They can, but I'm going to tell you what. They aren't answering the phone for me up and down the chain. And they might answer the phone up and down the chain for our agency. If the nation had it, they might answer the phone for our agency. But I'm going to tell you, this problem with probate is systemic. It's not just our agency. We have good people up here that want to help us get our things done. That goes back to my other question or my other statement. We need our nation to be proactive in saying, federal government, white folks wouldn't stand for this. We need to be active in what's going on up and down the chain. So I wanted to make the point that all those 200 probates aren't Superintendent Trumbly's or his intake person that works probate for him. He's the face of that system. He's the face of that broken down probate system for natives. And then another thing I wanted to ask, you spoke to Will hearings. Well, mine's sitting down in Albuquerque. It's been heard once. I had a telephone hearing, and we just blew the judge out of the water, and no fault of her own. We are kind of weird here at Osage, but she was supposed to get back with us. Well, that was in September. It will have been a year, and I haven't heard a peep from her, and we've made calls, but nobody's answering the phone. So when an Osage has a will and not a revocable trust, and you say you have, and they present the will to you guys, that will hearing, does that even occur here at our agency, or is that occurring somewhere else down the line? That's my question.
Yeah, I think under the 1906 Act, that's one of the things specifically that says they occur in Pawhuska, Oklahoma.
So the will hearing for the Osage Nation or for Osage probate happens here at this agency.
The will hearing's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Congressman
King. Oh, so when I first started practicing, a wise attorney told me if I want to remain in this seat here, I don't ever do Osage probates because of the ugly family infighting. So us as a body, obviously I want to bring more of this work in-house. Say we get contract attorneys to guide us through, there's going to be that political dynamic we got to be aware of. It's Osages versus Osages, basically. There's going to be, you know, politics gets involved, and it gets really ugly. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. That's just something to keep in mind, and I agree with Congresswoman Whitehorn. So I actually have been familiar with a few, you know, filed with Osage probates, And even under a Democrat Indian friendly administration, it still took forever. We'd get everything followed up here in Osage County real quick. We'd go submit the documents to the BIA. You're still waiting probably years, and that's not even under Trump. So again, it's a systematic kind of slog. I don't know a whole lot. I'd like to know more. But if we want to do this, which I do think is vital, there is that our uniqueness and that political dynamic is something we need to keep in mind as well. Because let's say we have attorneys, you have two Osages from the same family. There's a contested will or trust or whatever. Who do we help, right? So just something to keep in mind as the body that's tasked with, you know, drafting law. Of course, again, due to our Osage uniqueness, the 1906 Act will always apply as well. So thank you.
Just a quick comment, and then I'm going to go to Congresswoman Whitehorn, who has a follow-up. But, I mean, people can do everything that they've been told to do, right? They've been told, do the revocable trust. Save yourself now and your kids so that the lawyers don't take all the money sitting in the IIM that parents sometimes don't touch for decades, because that's the only thing they have to pass down to their kids, and they're just making ends meet with their regular job, living paycheck to paycheck. And I know families like that, that the parents say, that's all I've got to give to my kids. And so I've been told to do this, and I've been told to do this, and I've been told, you know, my grandma always said, don't depend on that money. Just leave it there. Leave it alone. So those folks that were telling do the revocable trust, I mean, they're still waiting too. That's the reality, is that they can do everything that as a nation that they've been told to do, to be responsible and get that revocable trust done and blah, blah, blah. And they're still waiting years, and the lawyers are still getting the money. Even if nothing is not contested, they're out their sanity at any rate. I mean, I'll just say that. And we're, as we sit here and we talk about it, I mean, it's sad. It's sad. And we are, I will say it, this is a pitiful process. Pitiful. Congresswoman Whitehorn, then Congresswoman Rivard, and then I'm going to let the committee know. We do have the lawyer calling in for it. So what we're going to do is we're going to segue back at 1 o'clock back to DOI litigation. And we're going to do that from 1 to 2 because that's when we have the lawyer. 12 to 1, sorry. And I'm going to allow these two more questions, and then we're going to break just for at least 8 minutes before the lawyer gets on the line. Okay, go ahead, Congresswoman.
So mine's just a comment in line with what Congressman Keene and what you said. And I'm just putting myself out there as an example. There's no contest in the issue that we're having, that we've already, the revocable part has been distributed, and there's no contest in what's going on right now. And my father passed in 21, and it's still not resolved with no contest whatsoever. It's a bad system. It's systemic, and if we compact that, we're just putting our faces up there to say, hey, let us take this bad system to administrate, in my view. And I think we need to be more proactive as a Native nation to fix what's broke with it. So, and I know that it's been that way a long time, but I still think if we don't try, then what are we doing to really help our people?
Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you. And just, you know, kind of to segue with these comments, you know, in the meantime, what I hear a lot too is our folks will go, they're going through a probate, and in the meantime, somebody else in the family dies. And then it makes it longer. because they've been waiting and 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 waiting. But also a piece that's missing is the education for our people from the Bureau side, because it's in your hands. So you're to educate, not us. I mean, I'll help do it all the time. And I'm telling them, I'm not a lawyer. I've just had to lose people. You know how I became educated in this? Because I had to lose people since I was 20. I had, you know, became a shareholder. Not because I wanted to, but because my mom said, well, welcome to being Osage. Furthermore, dear, you're going to have to handle your dad's estate. I didn't know what that meant. But everybody, what you just said happened. The lawyers got a lot of money because they would file a piece of paper every week. So they got paid when they could have filed the documents all at one time, which I realized what they were doing. They were filing. Well, you all know, you attorneys. They were filing documents once a week so they'd get paid like they're doing something. And then I'm like, well, give me the documents. I can go file them myself. Anyway, but in the meantime, for an Osage, this is the part of ours. Well, two things. First of all, Cobell, if you remember, they did not recognize our revocable trust. They did not. And so a lot of people that did not have wills, you know, they had to go do mini probates so they could figure out who, you know, they had to show to Cobell folks that they were the heir. So it cost them money. It was just full circle. It was really rich. It was so rich. Like, wait a minute now. Full circle. Here we go. You know, here I am, you know, party to this litigation with Cobell as a shareholder, or as I am account holder. And then it's just funny that we had to go and, well, kind of what Miss, well, I won't tell that story, but the other part that I don't like in all of it is the cultural piece that nobody talks about. The piece that I don't like for our people is the whole time you're messing with probate, you're still mourning. And it's, I hate that for our people, because just like as Miss Congresswoman Whitehorn is talking about, you can hear it. She's still dealing with her dad's probate. So in essence, she's still mourning. It's still alive, it's active, and I don't like that for our people. It takes a long time. But at the same time, when you're addressing it, especially if you're the executrix or the administrator of that probate, which there should be classes on for our people as well, is that their staff to still mourn that, and they're still talking about it. They're still bringing it up. And those situations, they're hard to deal with. And I hate that for our people. That's the piece I don't like about all of it. Is that they don't get that time to rest with that. Those are my comments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Without objection, we are going to recess until noon.